I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
6:42, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by Maureen Molak, co-founder of Parents SOS and David's Legacy Foundation, to talk about the Kids Online Safety Act. Good morning, Maureen. How are you?
Hi, good morning, Tommy. Doing well, thank you.
Maureen, I'm a parent, and I just got to tell you, I am so sorry for your loss, and I can't even begin to comprehend the pain you must feel. I don't know how parents that have lost children deal with it. They're in my prayers every night, as will you be, because for the rest of my life, because I can't even begin to comprehend it. I'm sorry for your loss.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Tell me what happened with David, if you would, please, and then we'll talk about the act.
Sure. 8 years ago, I lost my son, David. He was 16 years old at the time, to suicide. His death followed a year-long battle with social media and online gaming addiction, as well as there at the latter part of his life, months of intense and threatening cyberbullying that left him feeling helpless and hopeless. And you know, at the time, even though we were getting him the mental health supports that he needed, it wasn't enough.
Do you know where the bullying was coming from?
Yeah, it was from a group of students at his school, but it actually ended up spreading on social media, and it was just the sheer magnitude of it that was so damaging, even to the point to where we had to move schools to try to get him away from his perpetrators. But what we didn't understand at the time is that cyberbullying doesn't require geographic proximity, mm-hmm. and it ended up following him to his new school.
Mm. Did you have any idea how bad it was when this was happening, Maureen?
You know, at the latter stages of it, yes. Early on, he, as most kids, think that they can deal with it on their own. And, you know, there's a lot of shame and embarrassment around it. But by the time that we found out about the cyberbullying, he was already so far spiraling down. And it was just like the final match on a huge bonfire that exploded in our home.
Do you have any idea why these idiots would choose to pick on your son? Why is it a herd mentality? Is it a pack thing? And the people that did this, were they ever held responsible?
Yeah, that's what we call it, a cyber mob. And, you know, it started over jealousy over a girl. And then, you know, they started attacking his mental health as well as his looks and just his entire persona. And because he had this, you know, addiction to social media and online gaming, he had this persona that who he thought he was online. And when the cyberbullying started, it just really cut to his core, and you know, he just could not handle it. The latter part of your question, there was some accountability at the school level for some of the perpetrators, but as far as the social media impact of that, you know, a lot of the students who saw it occurring were reporting it to the platform, and nothing was being done.
Let's talk about the Kids Online Safety Act and what perhaps that would do to prevent something like this in the future.
Sure. Yeah. The Online Safety Act, the Kids Online Safety Act, we've been advocating for that for over 2.5 years. It just recently passed the Senate. With a landslide vote of 91-3, basically something unheard of in this Congress. And, you know, it's now in the House, and we're calling on Speaker Johnson and Majority Leader Scalise to help us get this over the finish line by the end of this year. And, you know, I've been advocating with many other survivor parents, as well as parents out there whose children who have been harmed by social media thankfully their kids are still here with us. And so we represent millions of American families who are calling on Republican leadership in the House to get this done this year.
What's in the bill, Maureen?
So probably the heart of the bill is this, the duty of care, the responsibility of the social media platforms to take reasonable efforts to design and operate their platforms, where they prevent and mitigate, you know, a very narrow list of well-defined harms, like the addiction-like behaviors that my son suffered from, promotion of illegal substances, sexual exploitation, and cyberbullying are just a few of the harms that are well-defined in the bill. There's also some safety by default, which would mean that a parent would not have to go through a maze of clicks and try to figure out how each one of these platforms works so that they can protect their kids automatically. It would default to the most highest protective settings, which is really, really important. It's what we hear from parents. It's playing whack-a-mole as they're trying to figure out how to navigate through all these different platforms. There's also some transparency and independent audit requirements in the bill.
Is there, I'm going to get back to that in a second, but what interests me, Maureen, when you said that as a parent, is that who your son was kind of got, I guess, blended with the online persona, and then as a result, I guess from his mental health standpoint, the two kind of got blurred as far as who he really was and the online persona. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's exactly right. You know, because of the addiction that he had to social media, you know, it created, you know, a situation where he was anxious and depressed because he knew there was something wrong with his behavior, but he could not control himself. So it had a grip on him that was just, it was so damaging. And he had this idea of who he was through these, you know, through online gaming and watching these professional gamers that were continuously showing up in his feed and the reward system, the gambling.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like behaviors and the rewards that he would receive. So you can imagine that when the cyberbullying occurred, it completely diminished any type of idea of who he thought he was online. And that was what was so difficult for him to be able to understand.
It seems like almost, and I'm not trying to be melodramatic here, but it almost is as though he got sucked online and then almost ceased to exist as the real person that he was. Accurate?
Yep, that's exactly right, Tommy.
Wow. Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. I want to talk more about Parents SOS, Safe Online Spaces, about the support you got from this from both John Kennedy and Senator Bill Cassidy, and about the hopes and what's going on with Mike Johnson. You got some powerful friends here in the House of Representatives with the Speaker of the House, with the Majority Leader. And you would think that they'd be able to bring this up, and if you got 91-3, if it got out of the Senate 91-3, you would think there would be immense bipartisan support for this. And I would ask, what, if anything, what's holding it up in the House other than big tech and money? We're talking to Maureen Molak, co-founder of Parents SOS and David's Legacy Foundation. She lost her son to cyberbullying, suicide. And you parents, if you have any questions or comments, 504-260-1870. I do want to address it from the standpoint when we come back of tips for parents, things they can watch for until something like this gets happened, or after, until this bill gets passed. 650 traffic now, WWL. 655, 5 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Maureen Molak, co-founder of Parents SOS and David's Legacy Foundation. She lost her son by suicide in 2016 due to cyberbullying, and I can't, you know, again, Maureen, just as a parent, I could understand maybe the pain and coping with something if a disease or cancer or something like that. Not that I'm trying to mitigate any of that, but to think that this senseless bullying, cyber bullying that just out of meanness and spite and no other reason than that. God bless y'all. Tell me about Parents SOS.
Oh, yeah, sure. So Parents SOS is a group of parents, 20 of us, who have lost children to various online harms, like sexual exploitation, sextortion, pro-suicide content that was fed to a young girl and also a young boy. And then, you know, a couple of our members have lost children to fentanyl overdoses that were the child bought the drug on social media platforms. And so, you know, we've all come together to represent the masses of American families who are asking for common sense safeguards and guardrails online for children, and coming together to support and advocate for the Kids Online Safety Act.
If you could, Maureen, can you talk to parents that are listening right now that have teenagers that maybe don't understand what could be happening with their kids online and what they can look out for and things they need to pay attention to?
Sure. You know, I think the most important thing to recognize is that the conversations that we have in our homes are so valuable. So if we can continue to talk about these harms and alert our children of what experiences that they may be having online that could lead to something dangerous. And also, you know, advocating at their school level for things like media literacy, digital citizenship, or phone-free schools. Those are all important aspects. But I want to be really clear that, you know, we can, as parents, we can do everything that we think to protect our kids online, but you can't protect them against something that you don't know exists out there. And until these platforms are actually required to design and operate, their platforms with the highest safeguards in mind for children, we will never be able to keep our kids safe online. And it is the only industry out there where we know that we have kids that are on these platforms. Over 90% of kids have smartphones. Until those platforms are actually required to be safe, parents will never be able to keep their kids safe enough.
Yeah, as we talk here, Maureen, I think about, you know, smoking back in the day, and you could smell it on a kid, or you could smell if they were smoking, and the tobacco industry did things to market it, tobacco to the kids and get them hooked. But this is vastly different. There's no scent, there's no smell, it flies beneath the radar. And the algorithms are just far beyond anything the tobacco industry could have imagined with market research. Talk about that, if you would.
Sure. So, I mean, you know, we have this business model where it's designed for the platforms to keep our kids engaged, right? So as soon as they can addict them at a young age, they will have a user on their platform for life. So if we kind of look at how it's the business model is designed, So they want to keep our kids engaged. And so in David's situation, his addiction to social media and online gaming was at the core of what he experienced. So the more that our kids are engaged online, the higher their chances of coming up against an additional harm. So if we can get to the core of the addiction of the social media, then we can be able to address some of these other harms. But the social media platforms right now have no incentive to do that. And until Congress actually requires them to do that, we're not going to see any meaningful changes.
A website real quick where people can go if they want to get involved?
ParentsSOS.org.
ParentsSOS.org. Thank you, Maureen. Again, I'm so sorry for your loss. Maureen Molak, co-founder of Parents SOS, David's Legacy Foundation. We're going to come back, talk to Jeff Palermo about the LSU game.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.